Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Crackley looks to find Fosu on the left, again with plenty of space. You know he can do damage. Gets to the box, cuts in on his right, goes for it, far corner. Certainly, no question he was going for goal there, right on the left-hand side of the box, just past the post, and that's really Charlton's first sight of goal. Nabi Saad next to move the ball forward. Tariq Fosu, a nice little chested ball down to Josh Cullen, who finds Joe Aribo now on the left-hand side. Again, plenty of space in front of him. He's caught up by the number 29 there for Walters. Good ball in from Joe Aribo. It's parried away from the keeper. The ball's still alive. Tariq Fosu has been pulled away. That's a penalty.
That's a penalty to Charlton.
Penalty to Charlton. There you go then. Lyle Taylor up against Liam Roberts in the Walsall goal. Takes a short run up. Puts it away. No questions asked. Lyle Taylor sends Liam Roberts the wrong way. Puts it into the right hand. Real middle of the goal. 6 minutes in, it's Charlton 1, Walsall 0.
Yeah, and a great place penalty there from Lyle Taylor. I'd be happy with that. Obviously missed a couple of weeks ago. Put that, you know, keeper wasn't saving that. Went the wrong way.
He can try and get the ball in the front. He can't. Just Colin. He's got space in front of him. He could opt to shoot. Doesn't. That's a lovely ball to the back post. To Taylor. Grebo, can he get there?
Go on, Eagle.
Oh, Eagle Vesicali with a bicycle kick. Can't quite get anything on it. And Charlton with some real intricate play inside the box there to try and score a Hollywood goal, you would say. Doesn't
imagine
quite come off.
The absolute scenes if Igor Vetticelli had connected with that.
Here's Chris Solly, he's nicked the ball in a shooting position. Plays through Taylor.
Go on,
Taylor
won.
Well, he's just gone a bit too wide there. Knocks it back. Shoot. To Fosu in a shooting position. Brilliant little Brad back. Goes for goal about 12 yards out on an angle. But that's, you've got to say, a brilliant block there.
Forward now for Walsall. Cullen.
Well played, Josh Cullen.
Does what he's good at, breaks up play. Now Lyle Taylor on the left-hand side. Looks to pick his pass. It's not a bad
delivery.
Ball. There's Cullen. Oh. That is a superb save from Liam Roberts from Cullen's header.
Have a go.
Again, Pearce in the box, Bielik in the box, Saar in the box. Ball's in the middle. It's so. Oh, I tell you what, Bielik. He's dropped again to Bielik. It's
yeah.
2-0 Charlton. Christian Bielik with a second bite of the cherry. Can't quite get his header there, but the ball drops in front of him and he slams the ball left-footed into the bottom right-hand corner. It's Walsall 0, Charlton 2.
And again, we've got that all-important second goal, Ollie. That's something we've been begging for week after week. Bit of comfort, bit of breathing space. The corner's come in there. It's dropped down to Christian Bielik and he's managed to poke it home. 2-0 Charlton. The away fans are loving it over there.
That's a proper ball boy, that.
That is a proper ball boy.
Run outside, missed his life. As a full-time whistle goes, boos surround the Bescot Stadium, cheers from the away end from the travelling addicts. A very, very, very good performance on the road here from Charlton. An absolute textbook away performance.
So good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview coming to you live from the Valley. We've just heard the goals from Tuesday evening's 2-0 win over Walsall. We're going to speak about that game tonight and, of course, look ahead to Saturday's trip to Mansfield Town. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me here on this special FA Cup preview is Tom Willing. Put your phone away, Tom. What are you looking at?
Just laughing at pictures of me when I was doing the training with Bozo and Blimirius. Look at the old square head.
You all right, Tom? How you doing?
One for the listeners there. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Yeah,
had a good week. Enjoyed Tuesday's win, following it up from afar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other voice, the other boy you can hear giggling there is Nathan Monet. Doing Nate.
Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. Living the dream. Yeah,
had a good week.
Yeah, good. We're doing all right. Top six, can't grumble, can we?
Yeah, really? Exactly. And it's a magic of the FA Cup's coming to get us as well.
Anything could happen.
Yeah,
so we could win. We could win.
We won the whole cup or just on
just
Sunday?
Just a game. Just a game in the FA Cup.
Yeah, right. So on tonight's show, we will look back at that 2-0 win over Walsall on Tuesday evening. We've just heard the goals there. We'll hear from Lee Bowyer after the game. We'll also hear from Jed Steer, the goalkeeper, about his competition for the number one spot with Dylan Phillips, of course. Then we will turn our attention to Sunday's trip to Field Mill in the first round proper of the FA Cup. We're going to hear from John Lomas, who writes for the local paper up there, the Mansfield Chat. He lets us know how the Stags have been getting on. And then again from Lee Bowyer, who will let us know what sort of team he's playing in on putting out. Now, first, Tom, we just heard there the highlights of the 2-0 win. Back-to-back wins, as Nathan said, back in the top six. Job's a good'un.
Yeah, you take that. After the week we'd had before, obviously the poorer performances with the draw at home and then the loss, where I saw the highlights of the loss at Rochdale. I didn't actually think we played too badly, but I didn't think we were great against Oxford. And those two results had come a bit strange, really, after the win we'd had at home. But, two solid performances since then, two really good wins. I think that Walsall game, you'd expect to win that, but I don't think we necessarily expected to win the home game before that, but we did. And, back in the top six, which is obviously great.
Just on the Saturday after the Doncaster game, Bowyer said quite explicitly that we weren't going to be playing Lyle Taylor because of his stomach muscle injury. And sure enough, he turned up. He sprung that surprise on us and turned up, battled through the pain barrier and scored.
I think, like you say, no one or both said he wasn't. So we was all thinking, are you going to play out with Carlin, or is there a chance that Naby will go up top? I don't know. I know that would never happen, but I always dream.
One day.
But, I was surprised to see it. But, that's the sort of guy that Lyle is, if he'll play through the pain barrier, unless he's obviously dying, more or less. He was never going to play. He was always going to play, but... Yeah, it turned out to be a good thing that he did start, and we got a nice professional performance and a decent 3 points at home against a team. They have fell away a little bit, but they did start the season quite brightly.
A good side at home as well.
Yeah, a lot was said about how our Tuesday evening record in particular was pretty poor. I think out of the last 15 or so, we'd only won twice on a Tuesday evening, and you do look at that, you think, oh, it's a small squad, we're going to be carrying injuries. Then when we saw Taylor was playing, you're thinking, I hope we're not risking him when we don't need to. Yeah. I mean, there were four changes made. I think the one that stood out for me was actually the fact that Carlin was, and it was just rested instead of Igor. And obviously, there's some pretty devastating injury news that's come out for both Igor and for Josh Cullen, which we'll talk about further later on in the show. But it looks like they're both out with dislocated shoulders for a little while. But I was surprised to see that Lee wanted to sort of change it up and to give Igor his start.
Yeah, well, I, like everybody else, I just expected Taylor not to be in that first 11. And got home from work and checked Twitter and see the team news, and I was as confused as everybody else, I think, to see him in there. And then you look further down the list and see that Grant isn't there. And obviously Bowyer comes out after the game and says it was just being rested. And, I mean, it is sensible when you think about it. And obviously, in hindsight, it's okay to say that because we know we won the game. But he does need to be resting players where he can. And I would say Igor and Carlin are pretty similar players. You get the same sort of style of performance out of both of them. Whether their quality will be the same at the moment, I don't know. But, Igor had shown a little bit in the last 20 minutes against Doncaster at the weekend. I think he deserved his chance to start. Obviously, gutted for what happened in the game. But and Carlin didn't get much of a rest in the end anyway because he had to come on. But it's good to see that Bowyer is prepared to change it up. And prepared to try different things, because it would be very easy for him to just keep chucking Lyle and Carlin in week in, week out. And obviously you want them to continue to build that partnership. But as he said to us on Saturday, when you're playing Saturday, Tuesday every week, you do need to rotate your squad.
Yeah, and one of those other changes was when with Tariq Fosu coming in for Jamie Ward. Now, when we spoke to Jamie after the Barnsley home game, he did say he doesn't think it'd be up to Saturday, Tuesdays too often, and the last Tuesday game we played against Oxford, he started from the bench as well, so I wasn't surprised to see that. But of course, Tariq hadn't been playing well this season, so absolutely delighted to see that. In particular, in the first half, he put in for me what was his performance of the season, and he got us off and running as well. He had a shot before we even scored that was really close, and then he won the penalty with some tricky footwork inside the penalty area. We seem to be on our best run of penalties ever. I think I saw a stat that's our 8th one in all competitions so far this season. We're only in November. Do you remember maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we went well over a year without getting one. So it shows we're doing something right, having tricky players in and around the penalty area.
Yeah, we've got pace, and you know, Tariq's as a defender, you wouldn't like Tariq running at you through the centre of the pitch. And you'd, like you say, he's sort of been in and out of the team. He obviously had that suspension, which seemed to be going on forever because of the rules of the cup games. But I think Jamie Ward's done all right when he's come in. He's set up a couple of goals at Barnsley, one in particular for me. And Tariq's had to wait for his chance, and hopefully for Tariq, that he's obviously done enough now to try and keep Jamie out the side. But it's good, you know, we haven't had good competition for places. And then not only Jamie, you know, I think Ben Reeves and obviously Joe Rebo's had a great season so far. So it's competition for places, and it's what we've always cried out for. And having someone like Fosu coming off the bench is, you know, not a lot of teams in this division have that.
Yeah, Reevesy obviously another one who's out injured now as well. Again, which we'll talk about later on when we get on to the injury situation. Obviously, once you take that lead now, we know the importance of grabbing a second. And we had a fair few chances in that first half. We heard a flurry of chances that we had around sort of like the 25-minute mark, I think it was, where we saw a couple cleared from near the goal. And then we had Carlin Grant had a header just before half-time. And we did lose Igor in that first half. Granty, as we say, came on and had that good chance. But we got that second one right at the start of the second half. Bilic again from a corner. It fell to him nicely, but he took his chance. And then, you know, that's that daylight that we've been talking about. Not being clinical enough over the last few weeks and not giving ourselves this daylight. All of a sudden, we've done it now twice in two games. And it's made us look so much more comfortable when we then hold on to defend the lead.
Yeah, and three times in five games, obviously. And we could have easily done it against Oxford on that Tuesday night and made it four wins out of five, because we got the early goal then as well. And we had chances then to extend our lead and didn't do it. And you see what happens when we don't. And you're right, it's something we have called out for more. You look at all the games, maybe not all of them, but a lot of the games we've lost all the way back to Sunderland and on the opening day, where, okay, that was a bit more smash and grab to even go 1-0 up, because it wasn't like we had chance after chance there. But again, we only got the one goal. So, yeah, it's good to see. And we know we've got goals in this team. I don't think we've ever doubted that. It's just about getting more than one or two in a game. And we've managed to get two, as I say, three games out of the last five. And it's no surprise or no coincidence that we've won those three games. So, yeah, we need to see more of it. Again, now that Igor's injured, how much Carlin and Lyle are going to have to play, and whether they're going to be able to rotate at all remains to be seen. But obviously we've got a couple of weeks coming up where they can get some rest as well, so I think that'll be important.
It's important for us, that clean sheet, or the few clean sheets we've had in the last five games now, throughout the last five, you know, bearing in mind the amount of chopping and changing we've had to do at the back. And again, you know, the left back position on Tuesday evening was filled by Naby Sarr, and that's not his most comfortable position. You obviously, your centre half is. It did allow Solly to go back onto the right, though, which is good. But I thought he performed very well there. And then you had Pearce and Bilic in the defence. I mean, it's hard to show exactly how horrible the conditions were, because I don't think it really came up on the video, but it's so windy. And the driving sort of rain as well is certainly coming down a little bit towards the end of the game. All of these high balls lofted into the area, ball going all over the shop, and we dealt with it. And you know, it shows that defensively, particularly now that Bilic's come back and Piercy's gone back to his correct side, we're starting to tighten up again, which is what we've needed.
Yeah, and it goes back to both saying how balanced we are. And I think for me, Barnsley and Donny game, I thought Bilic was absolutely brilliant at centre-half. Obviously, that might change. He might have to move from there now, considering obviously the injury problems, and go back into midfield. But yeah, I mean, it's always nice to have a clean sheet for the whole team. Yeah, obviously Jed and the back four obviously would be more delighted. But as a team, it just shows it's always nicer to get that, like, a 2-0 away win. It's really professional. So yeah, it's something to build on now. And we've had two decent results against obviously Donny and Walsall. And yeah, it's something to build on. So I mean, like you say about the left back with Naby, I think the only problem I have with Naby is if you've got a really tricky winger running at him, it doesn't fill me with confidence, because he's just an old school centre half for me. But he's sort of a big busty guy. But Yeah, he's done the job, and it seems like, you know, he might have to do some more time there if Pagey isn't near fitness, which I don't think he is.
No, Pagey's still a few weeks away as well. So, like we say, psychologically, getting back in the top six now, I mean, it's annoying because we've now caught up in terms of gains, but almost straight away, next weekend, when we're back on international duty, we're going to be one behind again. So teams will have an opportunity to climb away from us. But just to show that when we're on par in terms of games, that we're in and around that top six, that psychologically, that just shows that we're pretty much running to a level that we'd hoped to. I mean, Bayer wants top two, but, you know, I think realistically fans are thinking top six, maybe.
Yeah, I think I don't think there's any reason we can't get top two, but I think we're being a bit careful because we have been down in 13th and 14th place already this season, or around that area of the table. So, yeah, we're not getting carried away. You're right, it is just an opportunity for other people to catch up. There's no guarantee that they're going to win games as well. So let's wait and see where we are come in a couple of weeks' time. But even if people have got ahead, we're going to have a game in hand again. I know we'd rather have the game and the win, but that's the way it's going to be. But yeah, I think I said it consistently this season. We look a really good side. We've just taken, maybe we go through little phases, but as I said on Sunday's show, I think it was, it's not, I don't think Bowyer lets you lose too many games in a row. There were a couple of poor performances, I thought, against Rochdale and Oxford, and he sorted it out and got us two wins again. So I think results are going to fluctuate a little bit, and that's perhaps why top two is going to be tougher for us to get to. But I don't think it's out of the question.
Yeah, I mean, so Sunderland are currently in second, but they do have a game in hand on us, and they're 7 points ahead. So you'd assume they'd win their game in hand, so they could be 10 points ahead of us. So it would be a 10-point cushion for us to try and catch up with. So I do think it'll be quite difficult, but you never know. Obviously Bowyer, just we'll hear from him in a few seconds. He described the performance as really professional, and he used exactly the same word on Saturday, didn't he? So it's good to see that sometimes you just got to do the job done. It's not going to be free-flowing attacking football throughout the whole game. Although, to be fair, I think first half we were clearly the better team having chances. We did have a flurry at the start of the second half, and then we had a couple of half chances as we went on. But sometimes it's just about making sure you get over that finishing line with your clean sheet intact.
Yeah, and it's, you know, sometimes when people say professional, it just means doing the basics, really. Doing your basics, don't give anything sloppy away. Like you say, you're not going to be Barcelona and do all the tricks and flicks and pass people off the park, but you keep things basic, keep it simple, you win your individual battles, and then the result will follow. So, but yeah, like away games, like you say, in difficult conditions, away from home on a Tuesday night, if we're going to have any chance of getting top two, which I don't think we will, I think it's a bit too far, but even top six, you're going to have to win those games, or at least not lose them. And that's what we're doing at the moment.
Mm, yeah, I was told actually on Tuesday before the game as well by one of the local reporters. He was saying, "Oh, tell me it's true that Taylor's going to be out." And at the time, I said, "Yeah, yeah." But then obviously we knew it wasn't going to be true. But because he was like, "Yeah," because apparently he scored on each of his last four appearances against Walsall for Wimbledon, so now it's five in a row. So they were upset with that. Right, and we had a tweet in from London. Nick Geezer said it was an absolute quality performance from start to finish at Walsall. It was a pleasure to be there to witness it, albeit through glazed eyes, having had a few on the way up and arriving in Walsall at three and having a good few more in the hotel bar opposite the ground. Well, that's the best way to watch us sometimes. But yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it, London. Nick Geezer, certainly was a decent performance. I was pleased that I got to get to a pub. The Wetherspoons in Central Birmingham stays open to 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. What a place. Nice. So I managed to get into the pub for a couple after the game and enjoy that as well. Right, let's have a listen to what Lee Bowyer had to say after that clash with Walsall. Obviously, very pleased with how it went.
Very good. Another professional performance, I think, from us. That's back to where we've been in the past, and it's a tough league, you know. Like, we've come here and they don't drop many points at home, and especially when they've lost, then they don't often lose the next one. So really proud of the lads, you know. I've just told them that's what our standards are. On a Tuesday night, tough conditions and the way we fought and battled, and then not only that, especially first half, the way we played and moved the ball, should have been four, could have been three or four half time. Second half a bit more scrappy, wind picked up, and I don't mind seeing that the second half in this scrappy like that, because then I'm seeing a different side to my team, and other people are seeing a different side to my team, that we can do that side of it as well. So I different, the people that come in. Obviously we made four changes and they all stepped in, and practically in the middle of the park, outstanding. Naby left back, obviously we know he's uncomfortable out there, but brilliant. You had who else started? Tariq, outstanding. I think that's the best game he's played this season. So yeah, Igor, it's just unlucky, you know, like, I don't know what to say. He looked good as well, up until he got injured. It's just one of them.
What the extent of his injury is at the moment?
Well, he's dislocated his shoulder, he's gone to hospital. Josh Cullen dislocated his shoulder. But it's just unreal. Saturday we get two hamstrings, today we get two dislocated shoulders. It's just not normal. But we just have to get on with it, you know. At back four and Jed, I thought was outstanding. When Jed needed to be called upon, he was called upon. And our back four were outstanding. I think the way we defended the box, two centre halves, won every header that went into our penalty area. Midfield dominated the game. And the front two, they do what they do. They work hard out of possession and they cause problems going the other way. I think it was the perfect team performance, I thought.
The surprise inclusion of Lyle Taylor as well, we were speaking on Saturday, you weren't expecting him to be able to play, but he started and he scored.
Yeah. Yesterday Lyle said, look, I feel a lot better, but I want to play. And when your striker, who scored eight already, is telling you, like, I want to play and I want to fight for the team, it's a big game, I have to go with that. He gives me everything, you know, and he's a great lad. So, I was as surprised as what everyone else would have been today. And even then, you're thinking, do I take the chance? Do I, like, because I know how much he was struggling on Saturday after the game. But I have to, you know, like, we have to win games. And he came here, put his body on the line again, and thankfully he scored, and we got the 3 points.
You decided to give. Was Carlin being rested just to have a little bit of rest on the bench when he started on the bench?
Who?
Carlin.
Carlin. Yeah, I thought I'd give Igor, like, freshen it up. Igor up top. Igor's looked good in training. A bit different to Carlin, you know, like he comes alive, well in the box, might hold the ball up a bit better than Carlin. More physical, and I knew it was going to be tough here. You know, they're a good side, and I knew it was going to be a physical test. So yeah, so I thought I'd go with Igor. I said I'm going to start changing things up now. I learnt a lot in that past week that's just gone before now. So, and I believe in my squad. I believe in all of them, you know, and they're all good and they all bring something different. And I have to start using that.
You said on Saturday how psychologically important it would be to get back into the top six this evening. So that's a good thing that you've managed to climb back into those playoff places.
Yeah. Most important thing, you get back-to-back wins, two clean sheets. It's important. Where we should be, I think, in the playoff positions. And now we've got a bit of a break regarding the league to try and get some people back fit. So before our next game.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
As Lyle Taylor has a glorious chance on his Addicks debut. If Charlton lead, a referee blows whistle. Taylor steps up. Lyle Taylor.
Yes!
Charlton! Charlton take the lead after 9 minutes. Lyle Taylor on his Charlton debut gives the away side an unlikely lead.
Lee Bowyer, you're there after Tuesday's win at Walsall. He's needed a reaction, hasn't he, over the last couple of weeks, and it's coming back to fruition. Now it's the how does he extend this? And of course, we know about the injuries, which we'll talk about in a minute. How does he make sure he gets the same level of performance from his depleted squad?
Yeah, and he managed to find it at the end of last season when we obviously went on that run and got into the playoffs, and I think he needs to channel that spirit again. I think, was it Prattley came out 2 or 3 weeks ago after a game, and it might have been after Rochdale at the weekend, and said we need to focus game by game and stop trying to look too far ahead. Obviously the break gives them a natural pause to kind of reflect on where they've got so far, but when they get into the swing of Saturday, Tuesday, I think he's right. I think they need to forget that they're a team that expect to finish in the top six and just take every single game as it comes, and that it sort of looks like that's what they've been doing in the last few weeks, and I think performances have improved as a result. Whether that's something Jacko or Bowyer has said to them, or whether they've seen that as a team, I'm not sure. But I think we're easily good enough to win the majority of our games. We just need to focus on a game at a time. As I say, forget that we're Charlton. Forget we're a big club there to be shot at, and just take each game on its own merits, and I think we'll be fine.
Interesting what Bowyer said about, because I asked him about Carlin being rested, and he said obviously Carlin's got 8 goals already this season. Lyle's got 9. There was a stat tweet going around earlier. That's the most productive partnership in League One at the moment. That's brilliant. I scored 65% of our goals, which does make me think maybe the midfielders might want to start popping up with a couple more. But he said that Igor, you know, obviously it's different now because he's injured, but Igor on Tuesday felt was going to offer something different. You know, he said he's not afraid to mix it up, and he said he'd learnt a lot over the last week. So, I mean, what do you think he meant by that? Do you think he's talking about making sure people stay fresh or keeping people on their toes? What do you think he meant?
Probably a bit of both. I think with Igor, I think he offers something different. I mean, obviously he's not prolific at the moment, but he
looks like a Furby according to someone at Channel 9.
But yeah, I think he offers, you know, he build up play. Again, Stevenage was different because it was Stevenage. But you know, he does offer something, and it's like you say, you need to keep people interested. Will Igor be here for long? I don't know. He's on the injury table now, but you do need to keep people interested, keep them fresh, because you know who knows what's around the corner. And then obviously this week, which we'll go into in terms of injury, anything can happen. So you do need to keep the players fresh. And I'm just a bit gutted, really, for him, because I think he probably would have got another start on Sunday.
I think last 2 or 3 games he started to show a little bit more. So disappointed
that he's rusty, didn't he? He just needed that little run of games, but you just can't really.
Same as Tariq.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll talk about those injuries just in a few seconds, but I did ask for some three-word reviews of the win up at the Banksy Stadium on Tuesday evening. Tim Jackson said professional, comfortable and clinical, and then he adds twice, shoulders, how? And you'll find out what he means by that in a sec. Terry says gutted, wasn't there, lazy. If anything, Martin said should win these. Sebo says when you take Doncaster into account with the Walsall result, his three words are two massive results. F. James said it was an absolute delight. Spenny said it was like watching Brazil. Cliff Scale says we're on our way. Jake Wilkes says we're back on track. Excellent stuff. Right, Richard Corley, the South London Press sports editor, deputy editor, I like to say, but he hits me when I say that. He tweeted out earlier that so it was two shoulder injuries, two dislocated shoulders. I'm a man who suffers dislocated shoulders himself quite often, so I know how painful it can be. And he says that the severity of both of them could keep Josh Cullen and Igor Vetekele both out for up to 4 months. Now, in particular with Josh, I mean, Igor, he was more of a backup striker, though, so unlucky that he was about to be given his chance, and now he's out again. But Josh Cullen in particular, I mean, he's so important for us, I think. You can see the improvement that we started to have when he came in at a defensive midfield in sort of early September away at Southend, I remember. He played really well. I think that was his debut as well, actually. But, I mean, that's going to be a huge miss for us.
Yeah, it's gutting. And I didn't I didn't see the injury. I've seen the highlights. I can't remember if they definitely didn't show Igor. I can't remember if they showed Josh's, but I don't really remember it.
Igor's one was weird. So he's just battling away for the ball on the halfway line. And if I'm being ultra critical, I think he realised he wasn't going to get the ball, or he wasn't going to get past the man, and I think he tried to go down a little bit easy.
Okay.
So it's quite unlucky.
Backfired.
Yeah, quite unlucky on him there.
But I think I've had the surgery that it sounds like Cullen had, and it does take a little while. Obviously, I'm not a professional footballer, but it got me just a little while back to be doing exercise and out running and stuff. So you imagine that's going to be a little while, and it's just such bizarre to get two injuries like that. You know, the two hamstrings at the weekend, it's unlucky, but hamstrings happen to players, particularly as we get towards the winter and it's colder. But two freak injuries like that. And as you say, Igor, as we've just been speaking about, someone who we wanted to have more of an influence and was probably going to get more game time again through the winter, where we've got a lot of games. But Cullen's been just unbelievable in that role since he's come in. Remember, he started this, I don't know if the Southend game was his first game for us, but he started that game quite slowly, started to get on the ball more, and by the end of that looked a class above. And then ever since then he's just gone from strength to strength, and he's one of them players that, again, off air on Saturday when we were talking to Boya, him and Ward were two players he picked up on and said, well, they've got that class above us. And you see it, he just seems to have so much time on the ball when he's in that holding role. Obviously Prattley started the season in that role very well. We've seen Bielik do it, although not that well recent weeks. And then maybe someone like George can do it too, or Albie, but that's a big responsibility on them. So, again, great that we've got options, but he's going to be a big loss to us.
Yeah, I mean, who is the natural replacement? Because as you said, we've seen Bielik there. He got hooked at half-time against Rochdale. But in fairness, I think he's played there other times. Fleetwood at home, I think.
He played there at Southend, didn't
he? Yeah, he played there at Southend. So I'm guessing Cullen... He was involved there at Southend.
Yeah,
I think Cullen must have been a more advanced midfielder.
Yeah, he was.
But at the same time, Bielik coming out of the defence at the moment has left us horribly unbalanced, and I think it's much better to leave him there. So if you go to Prattley there, I mean, Prattley hasn't got the range of passing perhaps that Josh has got, but he's certainly got the energy to run about and put challenges in. So I mean, who is the natural replacement in that position, though?
Nabby? No, Jack, no. it's difficult. Like you just said, Nell and Ed there, really, you'd go for Prattley originally, but like you say, he's not going to keep a game ticking. He's one. He does all the dirty work. Lapsley, like Tom said, it's a lot of pressure for him. So you would say Bielik, but then I don't want him to move unless obviously Paddy's fit, which I know he's not. But well, I don't know, but I assume he's not.
I think the good
but
thing
it's
is that
isn't it?
Like Ward and Reeves and Aribo have all got that range of passing. So you've just got to rely on them to drop back a little bit more and do a bit more from slightly deeper. It's only got to be one of them. If Aribo drops back 10 yards. Lets Reeves and Ward still play higher up the pitch. Prattley can do all the dirty work, give the ball straight to Aribo. Almost like a more flat 4-4-2 when you play it that way. So maybe we'll do something like that.
But Reeves is looks to be out for probably 3 or 4 weeks with his hammy. Dick still went off with the hammy as well, although he's likely to be back. Good news as well, Billy Clark might get involved at Mansfield. He's been out since last December, so that'd be great to see him involved again. And apparently Bauer's back running, and Bowes said... To Richard Corley that he may even feature in the EFL trophy next week against Swansea. We had a DM from Charlton Sar. We said every single year injuries derail our momentum. When the same problem happens over and over again, it's not bad luck, it's a broken system. He says my 7-a-side team genuinely has more left backs than Charlton, and I wish I was joking. Charlton fans deserve to enjoy the wins, but need to know success will never come until Roland sells. I mean, it's the absolute stamp of Roland's era here at the Valley, unfortunately, is that we get into a little bit of an injury crisis and the squad's always just a little bit smaller than it ought to be. And, you know, when everyone's fit, it's fine, but it's very rare that everyone stays fit for a long season. I think you'd say our League One title-winning season, I can't remember having too many major long-term injuries, but that's a very rare thing to happen.
I think that I agree that the squad is too small, but I think really the only positions we're really sure are up front and left back, and that just happens that that's where we've had the injuries. Now, is that because the squad's too small and therefore those players are being played too much? Maybe. But you think of the centre-backs, we have got Sarr, we've got Bielik, we've got Bauer, we've got Pearce. They can all play there. You look at the midfield, we've just listed off a load of players that could come in. Okay, we might have to change the system slightly, but we've got a lot of players there. But left-back, we've got no cover. And up front, we only really had Igor because Nicky, I don't think, has really cut it. So those are the only two areas. The problem is Igor's injured and Page is injured. So when that happens, you're then struggling because you have to move other players, and that starts to bring the gaps up. But I think in terms of strength in depth, I think arguably under Roland, this is probably the best strength in depth we've had. As I say, I still don't think it's enough, but it's been a lot worse.
Mm. What about Clarkey coming back now? I mean, obviously a lot of competition for the number 10, you know, tip of the diamonds role with Ward and with Fosu, but that's where he would arguably slot in. Mm. I mean, it's another option. Do you think he'll have a future here? He'll be able to put those two under pressure once he gets back fully fit?
Oh, 100%. I think when he first came in, he was one of my favourite players. He was one of those players which, to an extent, I still don't think we've got a player like him now. I know, like Jamie Ward and Fosu can play at the top of that diamond, but he's that one who'll drift and he'll go into the little pockets. I think Reeves goes a bit too deep sometimes. I think he's so clever in his movement, and he's how he reads the game. I think Carlin and Lyle will have an absolute field day with him behind him.
Yeah.
I honestly do. But hopefully he gets 10 minutes or so on Sunday. But I was just looking at this programme, right? So we've got 28 players on this programme. A third of them are injured. 9 players.
Brilliant, yeah.
So we're going to have to play a strong side, I'd imagine. But hopefully...
We'll hear more from Bowes, but there'll be players who aren't listed on this programme. We'll be playing on
Toby.
Toby the Hattrick Stevenson on the bench on Wednesday.
I imagine he gets another one
on Tuesday.
That's got to be Jacko Jackpot. Isn't
it? Well, no. we saw Tobes was there on Tuesday after the game. He obviously didn't get involved, but the subs were warming down as we were waiting pitch side for the interview, and he came back. As he went past, he said all right to us. I was like, oh, you're my favourite player of all time, Tobes. And sent him on his way. Right, just a quick reminder, Sunday is the FA Cup tie, obviously at Mansfield. That's why we're having a big match preview for it. But because it is Sunday, there will not be a Charlton Live show on Sunday because we'll all still be travelling back from Mansfield. So unfortunately, we won't be able to get back into the studio. So in fact, this is the last Charlton Live show for a couple of weeks because there is an international break coming up after that. We're not going to bother coming doing one in the studio after the Chequer trade against Swansea next Tuesday. Although we made that mistake with the Stevenage game and look what we missed out on. But yeah, so this is the last Charlton Live show for a couple of weeks. So don't try and tune in on Sunday because we won't be here. Now, on Tuesday evening, also after the 2-0 win up at Walsall, I was lucky enough to get to speak to Jed Steer. Now, the full interview is going to be available on Valley Pass tomorrow, and also you'll be able to read the full interview in the South London Press because I very kindly typed it up for you. But this is just a little clip, just to give you a little bit of a taste. I asked him how he's settling in at the club, having come on loan from Aston Villa.
Yeah, it's been good. Yeah, it's been really good. The boys have been brilliant. It's a great squad. And yeah, you know, that's helped me settle in well. So yeah, hopefully we can keep winning games, and you know, team morale will stay high as well.
You had to be patient to wait for your chance. Obviously, Dylan Phillips had the number one shirt at the start of the season. Is it good to have competition like that?
That's great. At the end of the day, everyone needs competition. You know, we push each other. You know, anyone in any position. You know, with that competition, every day you've got to be at it at training. Every game you've got to be at it because you know there's someone there who wants that shirt. So yeah, you know, that's great. You know, we push each other, but you know, we enjoy it as well.
People talk about the goalkeepers' union, saying after a game for like today, you come and say well played, and in training he'll try and keep you on your toes and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's as you say, it's the goalie union. We work together on a daily basis. So we get to know each other pretty well. It's friendly competition.
That's Jed Steer speaking to me after the 2-0 win at Walsall. Obviously, he's first of all pleased with his clean sheet. He's 4 for the season. He made a couple of good saves. Like I say, overall, I think we defended pretty well, so we didn't have too much to do. But like I say, coming out and collecting crosses in pretty difficult conditions, he did that. He made a really good left-handed save, a shot that went across the face of goal. We're about 25 minutes left now. If that goes in, it's a different story, and we're under pressure. So you know, making some important saves, and he's done that over the last few weeks for us.
Yeah, he has. I think he's in a very difficult position for two reasons. I think the keepers we've had over the last couple of years have really warmed to the club. The fans have warmed to them, and they've been outstanding goalkeepers. And then I think he's also battling with the fact that he's taken the place of a young keeper who's come up through our youth system, started the season, I thought, pretty well. And a lot of people think he's been harshly dropped, and I'm one of those people. So he's got to battle all that. and people therefore expecting him to be outstanding immediately. And the difficult thing being a goalkeeper is you can't be an active goalkeeper. Like all you can do is really is react to things. I mean, commanding your box perhaps, but in terms of saves, you can't go out there and try and ask for saves. Saves will come at you and you have to make them. So there's not a lot you can do to really impress people. Obviously, all the chat from Bowyer was about his distribution, and I think sometimes people are being a bit critical of that. And again, I agree and see that point of view. But in recent weeks, he's perhaps got a bit more comfortable with those around him. And yeah, I think he's maybe not necessarily kept us in games, but he's performed well, and the clean sheets back that up.
Well, so he's talking there about how Dylan's keeping him on his toes. It's one of those ones you obviously have to broach it quite carefully, yeah. Because I don't want to say, does Dylan hate you because you've taken his position? But it is interesting. I mean, Dylan will be frustrated, but it does show, I mean, what we heard from Jed there is that they still work together. They go on. I mean, it shows how hard-working Dylan is. And, you know, I think Dylan's a great keeper, and I think he will be frustrated to be kept out of the side. But I think Jed's done fine as well. So it's good to see they're working each other, and Dylan will keep Jed on his toes the whole time he's here.
Yeah, he will. And, you know, as Tom said, I think in recent weeks, Jed's played really well. I think especially with crosses coming in and corners coming to the box, he's really comfortable, which I was nervous in previous seasons, even with, you know, Amos and Rudd. But yeah, deals will just carry on. The thing is you can only have one keeper, you know what I mean? You don't really rotate your keepers very often. It's not like you can rotate your strikers. So deals just got to carry on pushing him. And then if Jed does make any errors, which, you know, sometimes they do, if he does get a chance, he's got to take it. So will it happen Sunday? I don't know, but hopefully he can get some more game, because always said.
Do you see a future for Dills beyond this season here at the club? His contract's up. Would he be mad to sign a new one?
To be fair, I think he needs to sit down and assess the situation, because
he can't have another season like
this. No, exactly. Yeah. I think he probably might have been under the impression that this season may have been his year. But he's at an age now where he needs to be playing regularly. He had that, you know, he played regularly for Cheltenham and won the National League with them. And he hasn't had much luck here, and he needs to play. I want him to play here. But if it means that he has to go elsewhere and play, then, no, I don't think anyone could begrudge him that at all.
Yeah. Right, let's turn our attention to Sunday's trip in the FA Cup to Field Mill to take on League Two Mansfield. Looking forward to it. I actually genuinely enjoy the FA Cup, and as long as it throws up a draw, that's reasonably interesting. So this is obviously a new ground for Charlton, for haven't played there for a long old time, if at all, actually. I'll have to double check that. So a new ground for us, a club in League Two that's going well. I wanted to find out exactly how well it's been going. John Lomas writes for the Mansfield Chad about the Stags, and he's telling me how it's been going so far for Mansfield.
It's been a strange old season, because pre-season a lot of people were tipping them to be favourites for promotion, and they've had a fairly good season, but because they had two weekends where they had international call-ups, they had both the games called off, so they've been behind the pack all the time playing catch-up, and at the same time they've only lost once all season in the league, but they've drawn 10 of the 17 games, three of them with very late equalisers, so it's been a bit of an odd season, and they've been down there in the middle of the table with fans thinking he should be doing better. But over last midweek and this midweek, they've won the two games in hand, and all of a sudden now they're shot up into seventh, into the playoff places, and things are probably a little bit more realistic.
So fair to say they're hard to beat, I guess, with all those draws.
Yeah, very hard to beat. I mean, they do dig away. I mean, last weekend at Cheltenham, they were 1-0 up, then 2-1 down. But in stoppage time, they still managed to get the equaliser. Against Grimsby in midweek, they were 1-1 down and came back to win it with 8 minutes to go. So they're certainly very fit, very determined, and they are a very, very good side. I mean, it's one of the best squads I've seen down there for a long, long time. And it's just a case of them now spending this season proving that point. They are in those playoff places now. They've played the same number of games everybody else, and they'll be hoping to now actually make that happen.
Obviously, the manager David Flitcroft, he sort of took over towards the end of last season after Steve Evans left for Peterborough. How has he been settling in over the course of the last few months?
Well, he came in for the last 10 games of last season when Steve Evans pounced at the Peterborough job. Evans was going on about Project Mansfield and how he's going to get them up to the Championship. And unfortunately, he bailed with 10 games to go. Flitcroft came in and it became a nightmare. All of a sudden, he tried to impose some of his ideas on the squad, tweak the player formation, and nothing went for him. And game after game went by, he couldn't win games. And they dropped out of the playoffs and missed out ultimately. So a lot of supporters were very angry with Flitcroft at the end of last season for not getting over the line. But at the same time, they said, well, fair enough. You know, he's now got the summer to bring in some of his own players, and it's his team, his tactics. He's changed them from a 4-4-2 into a 3-5-2 this season generally. And slowly but surely, we're seeing the benefits of the players that he's brought in. They've all been very good players. And obviously, Tyler Walker, the young striker from Nottingham Forest at the moment, is capturing all the headlines.
I mean, you mentioned there that you felt that from outside the club, people were saying that Mansfield would be perhaps amongst the favourites this season. I mean, what were the feelings within the club? Obviously, they've been back in the league for I think 5 years now since coming back from the conference. What were people sort of inside the club expecting could be achieved this year?
Inside the club, I think they'd probably learned a lesson from 12 months before. Certainly coming back to the Football League, they tried very carefully, tried to get the finances right, tried to stabilise everything, get the foundations right. And last season, the chairman said, right, let's go for it. And he was quite bullish about it. He's going to, you know, I'm going to appoint Steve Evans, which was a bit of a shock to us all. Halfway through the previous season, he appointed him when we thought that wasn't going to be happening. And in the summer, he gave Steve Evans a huge battle fund. He spent a lot of money on a lot of players, and there was a lot of big talk in the club about Championship in two seasons. And ultimately, when it all came falling down this time around, although people outside the club said there's a lot of money being spent in there, there's some very good players that they look like they're going to be amongst it. The people at the club just said we just want to improve on what's gone before. They weren't crowing too loudly about promotion this time around. They let everybody else do that one, and it's probably been the way to go, to be quite honest, because it's a little bit more humble, a bit more dignity about it.
Now, looking ahead to Sunday's FA Cup game, I think Lee Bowyer has made it quite clear that he's going to be making a lot of changes. I mean, how seriously do you expect David Flitcroft to take the game? Are you expecting like a host of changes?
No, I'm expecting on this one that Flitcroft, he might make two or three changes, but he's got a very, very strong core squad. There'll be no kind of young kids thrown in or sending out a youth team or anything like that. Mansfield know how important it is to have a good cup run. Obviously, they had that fantastic time against Liverpool a few seasons back. Last season, they were just one game away from playing Man City, but unfortunately didn't quite make it. But it is a competition that they want to do well in. At the moment, they're 11 games unbeaten in all competitions, so they want to keep that run going. They've only lost once, as I say, all season in the league, and at the moment they're on a new club record of 12 unbeaten away games, so they won't be too worried about a replay either. But certainly on Sunday, I think they're going to be going for it. They're going to be it's going to be a full strength side or as near as damn it. They've got at the moment so many games to line up, and they're playing Saturday, Tuesday, week after week. And so he will tweak it here and there if anybody's looking jaded, but they will certainly take it very seriously. And the fact they've now got a striker actually firing on all cylinders, which has been a problem for a few weeks. Tyler Walker's now scored 5 in the last 3, which takes him to 12 for the season. And he's obviously going to be desperate to get out there and add to that.
Yeah, I was going to say, who are the danger men? But I guess Tyler's going to be right up there then.
He certainly is, yeah. I mean, the defence has been absolutely brilliant. They've been had a three-man defence with interchanging 4 defenders all season, and up until last weekend, they were the equal meanest defence in League Two. I've not actually checked since last night as to where they are now, but they've been certainly very, very strong at the back. The midfield is looking absolutely superb. Jacob Mellis, the ex-Chelsea player, is pulling all the strings at the moment. You've got the old warhorse Neil Bishop in there, who's getting the tackles in and breaking up play, and alongside them, Tommy Elshnick, on loan from Derby County, who's been scoring goals from midfield, looking very very good as well. But it's up front that they've been lacking a little bit. Danny Rose had a little run, but he scored five goals, but he's not really looked the same player as last season as yet. But Walker started the season well, coming from Forest on loan. They'd been playing him wide at Forest, but Mansfield wanted him down the middle. And he scored some early goals, including penalties, but went through seven games without a goal. But he's now absolutely back on it this week. I mean, the two goals last night were the sign of a striker in, you know, absolutely full of confidence and in good form. He would have probably missed those 2 weeks before. So whatever he's firing on all cylinders, Charlton are going to have to watch him.
Yeah, and just finally, just because it'd be interesting to see how Charlton are viewed by another club. I mean, when Mansfield drew Charlton out of the hat, did they think, oh, that's a big draw for us? Is that, are they excited about the fact that Charlton are coming? Or do we not really have that sort of reputation anymore?
I think it's somewhere in the middle, to be quite honest. I mean, in terms of the teams that you could have pulled out of the hat, if you're talking about, in inverted commas, big clubs, then Charlton are certainly one of the bigger clubs that were in that draw. So if you want to get to a name club at home, then it's decent. And the fact is, Mansfield are very pleased that they're at home, despite that fantastic away record this season. They see this as a good opportunity. I was speaking to Mel Benning, the defender. He used to play for Walsall in League One. And he said, as far as he's concerned, he's played in both divisions, and there's not an awful lot between the two, apart from probably the tempo of the game. And Mansfield do like to play at high tempo, so he doesn't think they're going to have too many problems on that score. And I think it's a case of seeing what kind of team Charlton name, because if they do name a lot of youngsters and underestimate Mansfield in any way, I think they might pay the price for that one. But certainly in terms of names, Charlton obviously have had their problems on all fronts, on and off the pitch. They'll be coming to Mansfield with a reputation of old. I think the sides have only met four times in their history, and Mansfield have never won any of those, so that's another target for them for the weekend. The only other thing, so there's been a little bit of a controversy up here amongst some of the Mansfield public regarding the actual tie being played at 12:45 on Remembrance Sunday, the 100th anniversary of the armistice. That's been upsetting a few people. The Stags will be doing something pre-match to actually mark it, but there's a lot of people saying that maybe the FA shouldn't have taken the money and allowed foreign TV to dictate that, which would happen on such an important day.
John Lomas there from the Mansfield Chad, the Mansfield Town writer for that local paper. Interesting point actually is Remembrance Sunday, of course, on Sunday while we're playing. So I imagine a lot of people would rather go to some sort of event regarding that. So I do wonder how many people will miss the game because they're doing something different. But obviously, Mansfield, they're having a decent season. They're very hard to beat, as John said there. They don't lose a lot of games. It goes back quite a long way, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think Tom just said a fair. It was, what, middle of September, you said?
15th, yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be a tricky game. That, you know, they're all there or thereabouts, and they've got some good players in there, I think.
Banana skin written all over it?
I think so. It depends how much we really want it, for me. I mean, cause I don't think... You know, Bo's make changes, but you're still probably going to have decent players. I can't see him doing 11 under 18s or whatever, but it's a potential banana skin. Like you say, you've got Tyler there and Millis, so it's going to be a difficult game for sure, but I think it comes down to who wants it the most, personally.
Mm. Yeah, Sebo tweeted in, said our last game at Mansfield was the 1st of April 1978. Jim Callahan was Prime Minister, Jimmy Carter was the USA President, and Kate Bush was at number one in the charts with Wuthering Heights. Good
great days.
Yeah, and Sebo was thinking, oh, I might start going to 1,000 chump games in a row in the next... I'll start in 20 years, then I'll start doing it. So there we go. Right, how seriously are Charlton going to take it? Now, press day is on Friday this week, so I haven't got any fresh press day audio, but I did ask Boya how he thought he would be setting up after the game on Tuesday, how he would be setting up this Sunday, and I'll be asking him if he was going to be making any chopping and changing.
I don't have many left. So it's like I've lost four in the last two games. So I have to look at, as much as I respect the competition, I have to try and look at the bigger picture, you know. The most important thing for us is getting promotion, and I have to protect the players. Like, it's been Saturday, Tuesday, now Sunday. I've got to look after them. I have to.
Do you think we'll be looking at a similar side to the one we saw at Milton Keynes in the League Cup?
Yeah, or or even Stevenage, maybe. Maybe something along them lines. We was talking about it earlier on today, but that was, we didn't bank on getting them two injuries. We've just got that. So I'll have to just weigh things up. They'll have a couple of days off now and recover, because the effort they've put in Saturday and again tonight, we don't play till Sunday, so they'll have a couple of days off. We won't get home till late, early hours in the morning, so they'll have a couple of days.
But you there telling me on Tuesday evening about how he is going to, you know, clearly, in terms of chopping and changing, he said he hasn't really got much room to manoeuvre, of course, with the injuries. But I asked him whether it'd be likely the sort of side we saw in the League Cup at Milton Keynes, which was effectively an under-23 side with Mark Marshall and Nicky Ajoze. But he said possibly more like Stevenage. So we had a few first-teamers in there. I mean, Wardy got some minutes at Stevenage, of course, the likes of Prattley. So, I mean, it gives us hope that we will see one or two first-teamers.
Yeah, as Boya said, and we said it off air, I think he has to play some first teamers because he ain't got anybody else left.
And there's no need to rest him as such, because we're not actually playing for 2 weeks after that anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm all in.
Win
it 12-0.
There is some, you look at people like Morgan and Lapsley, who haven't had a lot of game time. Maybe Maskell, Taylor Maloney,
Toby the Hattrick Stevenson.
Yeah, so you there are players that you can bring in, but if you don't want to bring too many of them in. We were looking at central defence. You think probably Pierce or Bielik is going to have to play, maybe even both. But around the rest of the team, you can probably rest a few. You think Fosu, get some game time, maybe Ajoze, definitely Ajoze. So there's a few that you're going to bring in, but I think it's going to be a little weird mix of both. But as you've both said, it depends how seriously we're going to take it. He obviously respects the competition for what it is, but it's clearly not our priority this season. And with the cards he's dealt at the moment, I don't think he's got a huge amount of options.
I mean, how seriously do we want to take it now? Because there's probably going to... I ain't seen the ticket sales, but you imagine there's probably 500-600 fans going up there on a Sunday for a new ground. They'll want to see a certain level, won't they? They'll probably be slightly disappointed if it is only under-23s.
Yeah, I think the ones going up there, they'll probably know even before Tuesday's game and the injuries to obviously Igor and Josh, that you probably were going to have a sprinkling of fringe players, sprinkling of youth players, and then maybe a couple of senior pros. But I think who plays, they might want to see it. But I think again, as long as the effort's there and you give 100%, I don't think anyone will really grumble, really. It'd be interesting to see who we play. Because the thing for me is obviously Bowie has a way of playing with this narrow sort of this diamond formation usually, and looking at the players that he's got available, it's not really, I'm struggling to try and fit those players into that system. So for me, it looks like he might have to do something. Maybe will he go three at the back? I don't know. It's going to be, and that's a good thing, I suppose, because Mansfield ain't going to have a clue either.
That's one way of putting it. We know that Lyle Taylor's unlikely to travel. So options up front, Jose needs to get improved himself. Like I say, I'm almost certain Igor probably would have started if his arm hadn't fallen off. Jose, a player, you can use this competition for fringe players, the same as the Checker trade, who either need to get minutes or need to prove themselves. And obviously Nicky is very much in the needs to prove himself camp.
Yeah, and I think as I've said, I don't think we have a lot of choice in who we're going to play. I think he's almost guaranteed a start. From my point of view, I see the FA Cup as game time for some of those players. Obviously, I'd love us to get to the third round and get a big draw, but the odds of that happening are very small. If it does, then great. But if we were to get knocked out at the weekend, I wouldn't look at it as the worst thing, because give some fringe players some game time Saturday and then Tuesday against, is it Swansea? Get that rest in and then look to go again in the league. So yeah, I think there's a few players, people like Fosu as well, like I said earlier, trying to play his way back into form. Nicky, who just needs to prove himself. Marsh, who's looked a little bit better recently when he's come on. So there are a few more senior players that could use this game to their advantage. And I don't think the players are going to go out there and not try and win, of course. So I think it'll be interesting.
I wonder if there are any of the under-23s that were involved in the League Cup game at Milton Keynes, they let themselves down in that one. Jacko came out and said it himself after. If they do get a chance, they'll be really eager to try and put that one right, won't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah, like Tom said, it's an opportunity for them. They're not going to get it every week. young players, you're going to get inconsistency, but it's another time for them to show how far they've come. Bose has always said since pre-season of, you know, the progression of George and obviously Albie, in terms of where they started and to where they are now. And it's now to, it's an opportunity to put them into practice in a real sort of men's football situation, not the under-23s, no disrespect to it, but it's different gravy, isn't it? So,
I mean, what's the risk of you know, damage to morale or to taking a little bit of the edge off the form we're on now if we do go up there and lose, even if it is a changed team? Will that come into play? If the under-23s go out and lose 3-0, will that upset us in the next few weeks?
Not for me. No, I think there's so much happening in the next, or so little happening in the next 2 weeks, in terms of we've got a checker trade game, then we've got a break, that I think our momentum is going to be halted either way. So I don't think, if we win it, I don't think it makes any difference, and same with if we lose. I think it's just one of those unfortunate things. We almost just want the league season to just carry on at the moment because of the recent weeks, but it gives us a chance to hopefully get some players back fit. But no, I don't think the result will make any difference in terms of morale.
All right, well, let's have a little chat about some sort of Jacko's jackpot bet. it's hard to predict really at this time, isn't it, when we don't know who's going to play?
Yeah. It's difficult. I might have to leave that, but I think it just has to be someone without someone scoring. Not 0-0, but like
Stevenson hat-trick.
I wonder what the odds would be. I might actually have a look now. How long are we going
to
left?
We won't have time for you to look at that. But we'll think about this. I mean, again, if I'm going to ask you to predict, it's almost impossible to predict because you don't know who's going to play.
I'll call it a draw.
Yeah, I'd say
I can see us coming back here and having to play another game.
Yeah, so yeah. When would that be? Because I'm trying to say, normally it's the week after.
That's the 18th.
Tuesday, but then that's in the midst of our international break. So will we play it then? I'm so confused about that. Well, who knows? I would throw in a prediction. I predict we're going to win 5-0, and we will come home very happy.
5-0?
5-0. Let me finish, Nathan. We come home very happy and in the next round, and we will draw Portsmouth at home in the next round.
Huddersfield. We used to have Huddersfield.
Yeah. Huddersfield are in the Prem now. We won't get them until round three. Right, we've just run out of time on this week's big match preview. Don't forget, we won't be back on Sunday evening on Charlton Live because we are playing Mansfield this Sunday. So by the time the game's finished and we've got all the way back down to London, we won't have time to get here, prepare a show and all that. So we won't be alive on Sunday. This is our last show for a couple of weeks. If anything really interesting happens on Sunday, I might stick an interview out or something on the podcast.
Take over.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it'll be annoying if it happens on Sunday. We're busy playing a game. But well, we'll come to that as we cross it. Otherwise, we'll be back in a couple of weeks when it's time to start looking ahead to, which will be Bristol Rovers at home, I think, when we get back to that. Right, Tom Willen, thanks for coming in.
Cheers, Louis.
Nathan Muller.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks to all of you for listening. Let's hope that Charlton can continue their FA Cup run. So far, we haven't played any games yet, so officially we're not knocked out. But let's hope we can get through to the second round. I've been Louis Mendes. Thank you for listening to the Charlton Live Big Match Preview. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.